afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Mary. Good Thursday. This is indeed The Fetch, I should say, right? I don't know how I start these shows. Thank you very much for that, Mary. That's good. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, July 18, 2019, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good very late evening, I should say. I don't know. Did I say evening? It's 2 in the morning. 1 in the morning, guys. I got to wake up. I need coffee. Let's see. Anyways, if you're listening in European and Asian time zones, everybody, good late evening to early Friday morning, which is where I'm at here. So wherever you're listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Now, the weather here in Riyadh started out as your very ordinary and average summer day here, with temperatures peaking out at around 106 degrees. It was quite sunny and hot, but dry. However, as the afternoon ground down, a wind picked up, and with that, lots and lots of dust. And although you cannot call the afternoon a full-on dust storm, the air quality was markedly diminished today in the afternoon. The sun began to get covered up, actually, to the point to where you could actually look at it. It's kind of got like this weird hazy look to it. You could taste the dust in the air. That was kind of obvious. If it gets too dusty, you can actually taste the dust. And, of course, if you weren't wearing a little bit of eye protection, sometimes the dust will actually get in your eyes. So it's kind of that type of day here in Riyadh, and this condition pretty much continued on through the evening till about 11 o'clock tonight. After that, I retreated into the house here to try to get a little bit of rest, a little bit of time to prepare for the show here. So the current temperature right now, though, is 92 degrees at just 1 o'clock in the morning. And we should be going down to around 85 degrees in the hour before sunrise. And after that, as soon as the sun picks up tomorrow, the winds are expected to pick up. We're expecting actually quite a breezy day tomorrow. It's going to be quite hot, 109 degrees with a lot of wind. And that means that the dust should probably pick up pretty heavily tomorrow. Not again, it won't be technically considered a dust storm by local standards, but it's going to be marginal air as far as breathability. Is if you have conditions where you have bronchial problems, you're probably better off not to go outside tomorrow because it's going to be quite breezy. And with that, usually again, with the high temperatures means you have a lot of dust floating out and about. Now, of course, it's not just here. You know, we have a lot of summer is here, of course. That means hot temperatures are there for everyone during the summer times. And in the eastern, central, and the central part of the United States, you are going to have, I guess, a pretty rough weekend this weekend as a heat wave is expected to settle over the eastern part and the central part of the United States for the next couple days. Now, while temperatures get most of that attention, of course, because it's hot, during any type of heat wave, that's not the issue. It's the nighttime lows that can be the hidden danger, because overnight heat can actually have a profound effect on human health. It's something that we talk about in Amman quite often. How many times I say, you know what, it's 1 in the morning and it's like 89 degrees in my house. Well, yeah, that's because you just can't get yourself cooled off. It's just too hot. And that's the situation you guys are going to have tomorrow and the next day in the eastern part of the United States. The National Weather Service is predicting over 100 record warm nighttime temperatures over the next few days, as lows only dip into the upper 70s over much of the central and eastern United States. In fact, according to AccuWeather, temperatures in many of the big cities may struggle to drop below 80 degrees at night. I'm used to that here, but we have Saudis very well air conditioned, everybody, so it's not a problem. Which, of course, if it's hot overnight, the truth of the matter is it heats up really fast in the morning. And I like to actually go out after sitting in the air conditioning all day here. I like to go out and feel that hot air, especially if it's dry. It's really good for your breathing. It really helps my breathing a lot. If you guys remember when I first did Inside the Eye Live back 2011 and into 2012, I had a super, super, super serious bronchial condition. I remember doing the Red Eye show and I could not breathe. And I remember doing a show for a Cult of Personality and I just could not breathe. I had a super bad bronchial issue. I don't think I got that thing cleared up until, I don't know, spring of 2012, something like that. And I was doing shows and man, it was tough. But after I got a good doctor who took care of most of the issues, when I stay in Saudi a bit with the dry air, it really does help clear up the bronchial area. It just dries everything out for you. And so I guess that's why Tucson, Phoenix, and areas like that are really nice places to hang out if you have a lot of breathing problems rather than the humid air where your lungs never seem to dry out. Anyways, with all this high temperatures, nighttime provides very little relief for people. And even me, you know, when I'm in Oman, I mean, I'll tell you what, when you're in that house and it's hot, 89, 90 degrees at 2 a.m, you just don't get comfortable. It's really hard to cool off. And actually, if you could go outside, I guess it's okay in Oman, but then you get eaten by the mosquitoes. So guys, it's going to be very, very hot. Studies have shown that obviously it's not the heat during the day that's the problem. It's the heat at night that's actually the problem. And I didn't even know this researching this, but did you know? I didn't know this. There were over 30,000, that's right, 30,000 fatalities during the European heat wave of 2003. And all of that was really contributed to the elevated temperatures at night. A lot of the elderly people just could not cool off. And then by the time the day hits again, they're just not cold and they start to dehydrate. Now, what's happening is that tomorrow is going to be exceptionally bad, especially up in the New York area where they're expecting maybe you will have some blackouts up there. Saturday is going to get actually even worse. So it's going to be a very, very difficult day. Mayor Bill de Blasio is telling its citizens of New York to take it seriously. That went out on a tweet or something on social media today. Extreme heat and humidity is expected to be in the United States from Washington to Philadelphia and New York beginning on Friday. Again, that's tomorrow. And it, according to a weather service guy, is going to be sweltering in some places in the eastern and central United States. So be careful with that. All right. That's the weather, everybody. It's the Fetch. Good morning. Good afternoon, I should say, to you, most of you. But I know some of you are listening in European and Asian time zones. So good morning to you. Friday morning, good late evening to you. You can join us in the chat room. I'm actually not there yet. I'm going to make my way over there right now. Why not? And I'm trying to be careful. I got stories up. I don't want to lose my stories. But I'm making my way to the chat room inside the iLive.com //live_chat. That gets you in the door. It's now loading. I'm on the internet for the hotel here for the non-production piece. So I see Blau Ocean, George, and Windmiller. That's it. How many people are there? I don't know. 11. Okay, so it's just getting started. Guys, we haven't got our categories. We got to get our categories done. Let's see. Anything? Nope. Anyways. Telephone lines. Good afternoon, guys. Blackbird's there. Hello, Frederick. And thank you for the clue in there. Thank you very much. Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. That bill, everybody, because we run our own private number here, I think that bill got paid or is going to get paid the end of the month here. But we're doing fine. Thank you very much, at least as far as the show bills go. So we're more than covered on that. So that's all cool. So don't worry about that if you want to obviously help. But it's okay. Everything is going fine in that regard. Let's see. You know, I've been very busy. Needless to say, very busy here. They didn't bring me in, I guess, to sit. And, of course, we're trying to get our move done out of Jordan the end of this month, early next month. So this is really a working type issue here. So it's been very, very busy. Haven't had a whole lot of time to catch up on stories out there. But one of the stories that I did catch up a little bit on, or at least was interested, was the Ilhan Omar story and Trump. And the reason why the story interested me was because a few months ago, we had actually back into last September, we had said there are, from time to time, Trump seems to say exactly what we say here on this show. Maybe not for the same reasons, but he says exactly what we're saying here. And in this case, this story here, Trump's basically saying the same thing we've been saying. I think we started to talk about this in March, April. I don't have a team to go back and find out when I said it, or else I'd pull it up. But essentially, the story is this. It is absolutely unconscionable. It is unconscionable. And you should start to take this attitude that we allow in the Western world people from other parts of the world to come into our countries. And within 10 years, they're basically telling us how to run our countries. That's the case with Ilhan Omar and some of these other women out there, but certainly Ilhan Omar. And why are we allowing this? Seriously, no other people in the world would do that. And I was talking to a guy, spent some time studying in the United States, and we were talking about politics and Trump this week. And I talked about Ilhan Omar and what's going on with her, because that was kind of the topic of discussion here. And he wanted to support it, right? He's a Saudi guy, and that's okay. And I said to him very simply, I said, look, in your country, would you accept a bunch of Ethiopians to come in here? And 10 years, they've only been here 10 years, they're going to tell you Saudis how to run your country? And he says, well, we don't have democracy here. I says, but you have your Shura councils. How would you like it if in 10 years you had people from Ethiopia or Somalia coming into your country and telling you Saudis what to do in your own country? I said, would you really like that? And he said, no, not at all. No way that we would not allow that. I said, well, that's what's happening in my country. I said, who's this Somalian woman to come to my country 13 years later? She's in my Congress telling us how us Americans are supposed to think. And the guy goes straight into this, well, America's a different story. It's kind of like this great experiment. I said, why is it a great experiment? Why should I give up my country to people like that? I said, it's my country. I was born there. I was raised there. I'm the one that helped build it through those years. I'm the one that contributed so much to that country. I said, why am I supposed to give up my country for some Somalian woman or some Palestinian woman or some anybody from any part of the world for that matter? Why should we be giving up our countries for these people? And if you don't expect to do it in your country, why should you expect us Americans to be any different from you? And I'll tell you what, that is one of the most effective arguments you can do. I'm serious. It is one of the most effective arguments you can do to win people to your side if you're in the international sphere, because nobody else will do it. No other people in the world are going to sit there and accept their country getting overrun and literally the indigenous people getting replaced. Look, if you're going to complain to me about how it's not good for the Aborigines and it's not good for this and it's not good for that, well, darn it, it's not going to be good for us either. So what's happening in the United States here is something when Trump says, you know, and I'll kind of quote here, he said, so interesting to see in quote unquote progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly, he says, and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how? That's what he said. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Now, he's saying it for the wrong reasons in many respects as the defense goes out. As he starts to defend himself, it's for the wrong reasons. But the fact of the matter is he's absolutely correct in this statement alone. Ilhan Omar, if she's such a genius and she can get into the Congress, why doesn't she go back to Somalia and actually start to make a difference for her people? There's nothing wrong with that. Same with Rashid Tlaib and some of these other people. If you're such geniuses, go back to your country, show us how to do it. But don't tell us how to do it. And the last thing we want to hear from a bunch of people like Ilhan Omar is how we're racist. If we're so racist, how are you even in our Congress? And furthermore, you're in our Congress precisely because you, Ilhan Omar, are a racist, because you draw upon your racist Somalian voter bloc. So don't lecture us on what is and is not, quote unquote, racist. And it comes equally from the Jewish community and all of these blue checkmark entertainment personalities. It's so silly and stupid that Trump is actually right when he says this. Go back. And then Trump was at that rally this week and you hear these chants, send her back or something like that. You know, they're saying it for the wrong reasons, too. Look, as far as I'm concerned, Omar, she should be sent out, period. She should never be allowed to be in my Congress. Who is she? Seriously, who is she? Here's the issues I'm finding, what I see in American politics right now. It's not Ilhan Omar being attacked because she's anti-white. She's not. She's being attacked because she says things that make Jews uncomfortable. And therefore, a lot of Trump's issues aren't with the fact that she's going after white people, because quite frankly, she's not. She's going after the Jewish population in America. That's who her target has been. And when I look at Trump, who is so far in bed with the enemy, the Israeli state, and you got Ilhan Omar here talking about how, you know, the Zionists this and Jews that and AIPAC that. Hey, it's all really good stuff. It's actually what she's saying about the Israelis are fine. So what is it about we need what? This Somalian immigrant to do our job for us? Americans should be speaking up like an Ilhan is. That doesn't mean I'm going to accept an Ilhan coming in and telling us what to do, because she's basically an idiot. But she's right on the foreign policy issues. She's not going to protect your interests as Americans, but neither is Trump. That's the funny thing about this. Trump is focused only on the economy. Why the economy? Because he's working with the Jewish banks. And what's the problem with the Jewish banks? They got trillions and trillions of debt in their derivatives, and they need the stock market to be as high as possible before they all go underwater. You need that stock market to be high because basically you got all this unfunded pensions out there, and you need to basically have this value in paper so that you can fund all these pensions that are basically underwater. That's the key point here to raising up. Are there more jobs? Yeah, but look at the decay. Are you closing the border? Absolutely not. What were the two reasons that Trump was elected? It wasn't so much the jobs. It was first the border, and second, to pull our troops out of the Middle East. And on both of those cases, he's actually not doing so well. Certainly in the Middle East, he's a failure, an absolute failure. He's doing nothing for us. He promises to take them out. We get excited. What's he do? He goes back on his word. He promises to go do something about the border. He seems to go back on his word. Oh, he says, I'm building it and cheaper and I'm building it. But you know what? The flood keeps coming, dude. We're expecting a little bit more action than you can give us. Now, we respect, quite frankly, we do respect that the country's screwed up. We do respect that it's infiltrated by a pretty nasty energy there. And I tend to be a very patient guy. Some positives out of this. There's something like 12,000 now. 12,000 plus pedophiles, sexual predators have been taken down. This is way beyond everything, over the last four presidents. This is a positive. And one of my theories I have, and I've actually seen it in some of the conspiracy world, is this planet really is in a battle for good and evil. It really is. And essentially what is really evil is trying to reincarnate into our world. And I remember when I was studying the English language on an esoteric channel, esoteric basis. There was something from the traditional Freemason, and I'm getting hammered for that lately. I don't know why, but I'm getting hammered. And it's from this Freemasonic thing, but it's going back to the early 1800s about the English language. And it said that our language is for the living and not the dead, which means that our language is for life, for us, for the human race to uplift itself. It is not really about some of these other language, and that would include the Arabic and certainly the Hebrew, which have closer ties to the world of the dead. I know for a fact that if there are jinn, for instance, floating around in Saudi Arabia, they're not going to go into English to scare that jinn away. What they're going to do is they're going to go into Quran, and they're going to scare them away with Quran. It's a very well-known thing. Same thing in Jordan. They do the same thing. And if you talk to some of these high-level people that can do this, which I have done, and you talk about the Israelis, well, the Israelis themselves have their own spirit, demon type of mentality or links. And Jews are like even some of the worst at it. They got their golem stuff. Jews are probably some of the biggest black magic practitioners on this planet, would be my guess, quite frankly. So what you have to do is you have to cut this tie, this esoteric, this spiritual channel, this energy channel, in order to make things better. And that, I don't know, quite frankly, because I'm not involved. I'm just outside, just kind of speculating and watching and observing and commenting. So I don't know. I'm not claiming to know. But my guess is that part of what you've had to do over these past 2-3 years was to start cutting these channels. And who knows, again, but I think that's part of what's been going on. So basically, Trump is basically saying what we've been saying. You know, these people don't have any right, quite frankly. And it just shows you why the problem here, or what is the problem in the West. We're actually allowing people from these countries that don't really have our values. They don't have a Western mindset, coming into our countries and then telling us what to do. Now, the main thing that I'm noticing, quite frankly, is the Omars and the Talibs of the world, they have an issue with the AIPAC and the Jews and the Zionists and things of that nature. They've been a victim of this. Their countries have been pretty much trashed by Jews for a long time using American military. So you can understand it in some respect. That doesn't mean I want it in my government telling me what to do. That's for sure. So on Monday, the president said this about Ilhan Omar. He says, I look at Omar. I don't know. I never met her. I hear the way she talks about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has killed many Americans. She said, you can hold your chest out. You can. When I think of Al-Qaeda, I can hold my chest out. Well, I'm not even sure what that means. But Al-Qaeda is Israeli. Al-Qaeda is CIA. Come on, dude. What are you messing for? What are you talking this stupid thing? And here's the thing about Trump. He's had 3 years. He knows 9/11 is a Jewish issue. A lot of people know 9/11 is an inside job. Come on, we actually have video. The video is out there if you search hard enough. You can see some type of missile, for instance, hitting the Pentagon. Okay? You can see it. The video's out there. So you've had 3 years in power, and you've done absolutely nothing to change the narrative on 9/11. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because your buddies, Israel, are the people behind it. So really, when you look at people like Ilhan Omar, who at least raises the issue about Jews and Zionism and basically AIPAC and what they do to our nation here, and you look at Trump, who just goes and puffs out his chest, we got the greatest military in the world, but all he talks about is how Ilhan Omar is anti-Semitic, as if somehow that matters to us European Americans, who gives rats, you know what, right? But really, who's the bigger patriot here? Is it Trump or is it Omar? Think about it.
You're listening to Revolution Radio.
It's kind of a serious question, too.
We'll be right
it's
back.
It's the Fetch, everybody. Good afternoon. Thursday with more right after this.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Good Thursday again. It's July 18, where you are. Most of you are, at least in the United States. July 19th, early 1:33 in the morning here. In Riyadh, I'm not so tired, not like last week, guys. Last week, I was absolutely dead, man. This week, I'm a little bit better. I took a short little 20-minute power nap. Somehow, I got that in before calls started to come back in. But, yeah, I got a little bit of sleep, guys. So I'm feeling better. Thanks. Hope you're feeling okay today, wherever you're listening out there. And, we had quite a busy hot day. I'll tell you what, that dust, when it comes up, guys, it really gets to my lungs. It's okay. I'm not complaining, but it's like, man, I gotta get back inside. But I like to be outside. I just like to be out in the hot. I like the hot air. I don't like the humidity, but I like the hot air, and it's not humid here, so it's okay. Let's see. It is listener-sponsored, everybody. Supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to keep everything alive, up and running. So obviously, without your assistance, we are very challenged to keep a network alive, up and running. And especially moving on into September, we've heard one of our big sponsors is going to be dropping. That's talking about studio sponsors. So we're going to lose a sizable chunk starting, I believe, in September. So if you guys can start to wind things up, especially going into next month, to try to help this show at least contribute to the bills, that's always a great thing. And of course, whatever you can do to support the network is okay for me. I don't mind at all, quite frankly, because I need the platform to operate from. And this is where I do operate from. Guys, we actually do get a pretty good audience here from the studio. So it's very important, once again, that we support the studio equally. This show, of course, is sponsored and supported by the ITEL Cat Report. It's proudly sponsored by Graham Hart and the Graham Hart Show with Breiser, and by the song Hoax Train. And of course, we've got a little clip on that. I think we can play that now. Climb up the world. What do you think? I should add a lady co-host to this?
It's nice if you've got someone you can bounce on. You should be careful to use lady co-hosts.
You know what I need to do? I need to fly to Cornwall. Like, yes, and catch into the bog. Just put a big air fence here. You and I ought to do a show together, the Graham Petro Show. Let's change it from Petro, because I don't want to overshadow you. So if I go to Petro, it's like, who's Petro? Wake up, get off the Hoax Train, the Hoax Train. The next stop is reading a diary. Is this live? Actually, yes, it is.
I'm not listening back to this part.
You know, maybe Grissom is going to cut this part out. This wasn't live. I know they were missing. Yes. Because it's time for the ITEL Primetime Cat Report, sponsored by Graham Hart and the Graham Hart Show with Breiser, which streams live every Monday on Cornwall Revolution Radio at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and by Graham Hart's song, Hoax Train, where a little historical humor triggers the hoaxsters and anti-semi-hunters alike. To listen to the Graham Hart Show, visit grism.blogspot.com before showtime for all the listen live and chat room links. And this week's ITEL Cat Report is, I don't know what to say. You know what? The kittens. Let's start with the kittens. That's probably a good place to start. You know, we've got the four kittens with Pressy, and the kittens are getting big already, man. They're starting to, just this week, they got moved out of their little lair up inside the bedroom, and they got moved out to the living room, and they were given their own little lair there, and they are now starting to walk around the house. driving mother crazy as you can imagine, but I saw them just playing. Mom was playing, chasing them down, trying to corral them. If you thought it was difficult to corral cats, try being a cat mother and corralling kittens. That's probably a pretty tough job there. But she was looked like she was having a lot of great fun. Now we've got the four kittens. They're all healthy. Thank you. And we have now found homes for all of them. Two of them are going to be going across in the neighborhood. Two others are going out elsewhere. So we have been able to at least find good homes for the cats. We are still working on getting the cats out. We've already received the donations necessary for all of the, immunizations, the rabies shots, and the paperwork and the Ministry of Agriculture health certificates. We've already got all of that done. That's okay. So that's been done. We are now working really on getting them out. We had, unfortunately, I have not been able to find cheaper prices. The cheapest price I have, believe it or not, guys, to ship cats from Amman, Jordan to the Philippines is $1,400. We'll get it done. We're not sure how we're going to get it done, but we will get it done. But guys, if you want to contribute to that, again, we tried to set up a GoFundMe account. GoFundMe actually shut that down within about 3 days. They didn't even let me keep it. So I don't think it's even live. I've tried to log into my account and I'm blocked. So I can't even log into my own account. At least at this stage, I just can't get in. So guys, if you want to do something, we've got the PayPal account through the website. You can go to the donations page or the sponsorship page and send something there if you want to help keep that up. Anything that's sent is helpful. We're trying to, that's why I'm here in Saudi, by the way, is to try to help smooth over some of the expenses. So it took away from my vacation, but I'm sure that's not, you know, none of you are going to cry over that, and you shouldn't. But nonetheless, we're working on getting the cats out. It was funny today because Emily is at home. She's now by herself doing all the packing. And so she's in the Philippines. They like to eat sardines. It's not necessarily a delicacy, but we had a bunch of sardines that are imported from the Philippines that you could buy locally. So she opened up one of those cans today, and they're not really big cans. I don't know what they are. They're just little small cans, good for one person. And the second that the thing opened, spikers came running over, screaming like, okay, I smell that. I want, I want, I want. And so spikers ate the first batch of that. Then Pressy and Ming Ming got to eat their portions. And when it was all said and done, basically, Emily didn't get to eat any of it. The cats ate it all. So I guess they ate okay, huh? But yeah, it was all gone. Literally, they just ate basically Emily's food tonight, which was a can of sardines. I'm not big on sardines, but the Filipinas like it. So, you know, it's okay. Let them eat it. But the cats love it too. They enjoyed it. So they had a great time. But everybody's healthy, happy. We are now looking basically to just figure out how to get them out. I think in another week or so, I have to start planning for the agriculture certificates from the Philippines and get that wrapped up. I'm going to probably close on the offer next week. I'll probably close on that offer to get them out. Just seal it and bite the bullet, so to speak. But we are going to bring the cats to the Philippines, everybody. So we want to thank everybody who's donated so far. We've received, honestly, about $520 of about $2,000. Quite frankly, it's about $2,000 for the cats. But we've received about $520, right around there, something like that, for the cats. And believe me, guys, that's such a big help. You have no idea. So thanks, everybody, for that. Martin, I think, and obviously others, you know who you are. Thanks so much. So again, the Cat Report is proudly sponsored by Graham Hart, the Graham Hart Show with Breiser. And of course, you can catch that show every Monday at 5 o'clock PM Eastern. And it's available as a grism.blogspot.com, original. It's kind of like Netflix. It's like a Netflix show for the radio business for Grism. So they've got their own original content. I don't know what Grism licensed that for to bring Graham over there. You know, I can't imagine what Graham charged, quite frankly. I guess it's okay. So Graham charges Grism for the content, and then I get some of that in advertising for the show. It probably works out okay for me. So that's all right.
But nonetheless, no, it's a check it out Saturday, every Monday, 5 o'clock PM Eastern. It's a pretty good show. Actually, it's become a pretty good show over the years. It's improved. So it's a good show. Kind of like Frederick there with the Cat Report on Saturdays, another great show now. So we've got some great sponsors, everybody. If you just kind of click in and listen, you've got a lot of good stuff going out there. What else we have today? It's, of course, Thursday, and that means also time for the...
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
How is it run by Jews? They don't like it. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boyish ears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And we're going to start the Oy vey moment, I think, going to... I have two choices here. I can go to Venezuela, or I can go to Massachusetts. Let's start with Massachusetts, everybody. There's an employee at the Temple Emmanuel Synagogue in Marblehead, Massachusetts. And get this. This is terrible. I mean terrible. Another absolute example of Jewish paranoia. They found flyers. That's right. They found flyers on Monday and notified the police about flyers. Yep, that's the Jewish community for you. And that really... is a clear example of these people are absolutely insane. They found flyers and called the police, according to local media. According to The Hill, which is the paper, the flyers claimed this, guys, and this is reportable to the police in the Jewish mind. Holocaust equals fake news. Sounds like they've been listening to Inside the Eye Live. But yeah, Holocaust equals fake news. And the people that lied about soap and lampshades are lying about gas chambers and ovens. Now, I don't know who did that, but you know what? What is actually wrong with that? And why are you calling the police? Think about it. Why are you calling the police and wasting our resources for that? Or wait a minute, maybe you're telling us that the police aren't ours. The police only work for Jews. Maybe that's what you're telling us. Because yes, the Holocaust is fake news. It's probably one of the most egregious examples of fake news ever going. Rabbi David Meyer. We got to change that name, Meyer, to your, never mind. Rabbi David Meyer told the Daily Item media outlet that clearly this was a message that was meant to be delivered to us because the message was found on our property. Oh, you poor frickin' baby. While it was distressing and sad, why was it distressing and sad? Grow up, you moron. Seriously, dude. And he's going, knowing that these incidents continue right here in our town. What do you mean they continue right here in your town? This is probably a one-off that never happened before. And you've already just lied to us, you scumbag. Because what you're saying is this is a recurring, you're telling us it's recurring. And you're still crying over it, even though it's recurring. I mean, think about this, guys. These rabbis and these Jewish people are whining about flyers. What morons? Seriously. Then they want to insult us and they say, well, it's sad knowing that these incidents continue right here. What do you mean they continue right there in your hometown? Have they been going on forever?
Again, this is probably self-inflicted BS from the Jewish community to gain sympathy. And quite frankly, none of us should care. And I hope you don't care. But people do care. The Anti-Defamation League, they have what's called their Center for Extremism, or a Center on Extremism. Now, can you imagine to the Jewish community leaving a flyer that says Holocaust equals fake news, which is actually true, is considered extremism? Now, who's the enemy here of the American people? Is it Ilhan Omar, who I'm not happy about, and she should be kicked out? If she committed any fraud whatsoever, she should have her citizen. Actually, we shouldn't have ever brought her here to begin with, but she should have her citizenship revoked and sent home. Sorry about that. You're a genius. You understand how it works. Go fix Somalia and then come lecture us Americans. But to the Jewish people, now that they've risen to power, this is extremism in their eyes. And then they listen to the language Jews use. They say it's a pretty targeted attack. Oh, give us a frickin' break already, dudes. Do you realize that you can't whisper a thing about Jews without some Jew somewhere talking about it and raising the issue? There was a story last week. Some guy wrote, he was wearing a t-shirt of some nationalist Indian figure. And the Indian figure happened to be an ally of Adolf Hitler, and Jews were whining about that. It's like, I wouldn't even have known that, quite frankly. Thank you for educating me. But you know what? It just shows me that you guys are paranoid. You're watching every single incident that pops up on the social scene. Doesn't matter where it comes from. Carrying on, it says, this was disseminating an anti-Semitic message. What is anti-Semitic? First of all, it's not Semitic. It's anti-Jewish. Let's change Semitic to Jewish and stop messing around, because it's not targeting the Palestinians. They're Semites, and everybody else are Semites. It's anti-Jewish, period. It's anti-Jewish. Where is the Holocaust that you talk about? Why don't you allow us to talk about it? Why don't you let us investigate it? And why do you want to have your hands in our pockets or in our law legislation systems over things you won't even let us investigate? It's called public disclosure. We want our say. And the fake news of the Holocaust is our say, and we have a right to that. It's called free speech. And until Jews can prove it, hey, let the speech stand. And any Jew that tries to combat it should be seen as a racist bigot, hammered out, and perhaps sent home, pack their bags, go back to Israel. It's not, obviously this country's not meant for them. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to act in a free society. They don't know what it's all about. They want to impose upon all of us their own tyranny. Meanwhile, another local media outlet, the Salem News, see, it's like everywhere, but a stupid flyer. You can't talk about Jews, 134 Jews that were arrested on 9/11. You won't bring this issue to the public, but you're going to waste our time on a stupid flyer? Really? Goes on to say, reportedly attributed the flyers to a local white supremacist book club. Well, you know what? Screw you. It's a Jewish supremacist club right now called the ADL making this issue. It's Jewish supremacy that makes it even it's a story. Come on. It's in the story. It says here, there have been 28 incidents involving anti-Semitic flyers in Massachusetts within the first 5 months of 2019, an uptick from 26. You guys are counting how many freaking flyers? Oh, there's been three additional flyers. Do you realize how stupid Jews are? And they're getting paid money for this, guys. They're getting paid to do this because it's all done on nonprofit bullshit. Excuse my language, which means you're paying for this. They write it off on their taxes, and they're wasting their time talking about, oh, there's been 26 flyers. Jeriah said, if you look at the media, which is 100% Jewish owned, how many anti-American, anti-white stuff will you find in a day? How many errors of omission? Oh, it was done by the crime was committed by a teenager. It wasn't a teenager. You got a huge black crime problem, and you won't talk about the black crime problem. How is that error of omission not more egregious than a stupid flyer that says, hey, Jews are stupid? Think about it. Because what idiot complains about a flyer? Seriously, what idiot in America complains about a flyer? The level of idiocy you see from the Jewish community, raise the issue. They're morons, man.
You're crying about a flyer? Are you freaking out of your mind? Seriously. We got so many problems, and all you want to do is cry. Oh, you poor babies. And then you want to call and accuse people of being, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Well, go screw you. Because that's, in your own definition, that's hate speech. We should be able to take you out right now, put you in jail, and lock the key away. Because that's how you treat people in the Jewish community towards everybody else. These are some of the issues that, that really need to be raised. Really moving over to Venezuela real quick, because I think we only got about a minute and a half to go, something like that, on the segment here. A couple issues. Number one is Venezuela. Jews are complaining about Venezuela. First of all, their Jewish friends in America have been boycotting and sanctioning that country for almost 20 years now. And Jews are complaining that the country is not functioning well. Well, how are you going to function well when you're always under sanctions from your Jewish buddies up in Washington? So the Jewish agency is quietly assisting Jews to leave Venezuela and make aliyah. They say it's dangerous to walk on the streets. Well, you ever try to walk down some of the streets in America, you morons? Have you tried to walk in some of the no-go zones that you Jews have created in Sweden, in France, in Germany, in the UK, in America? Have you ever tried to do that? But you guys are going to whine to us about how it's not safe for you Jews to walk in the streets, as if somehow we're supposed to care. We care about our own interests, folks. And that's the key point here. You have to care about your own interests, not the interests of a bunch of pandered or pampered crybabies, which is what you have in the Jewish community. He goes on to say two families. See, they make a big headline. Dudes, this is a huge headline in their newspaper, and it's two families. Two stupid families. And then I look at the headline and there's no food, only anti-Semitism. Venezuelans make aliyah. Wow. Well, first of all, they're not Venezuelans. They're Jews. You're lying to us again. What is it about you in the Jewish community that just says you can't be straight with words? What is it that makes you so stupid that you can't use the English language in an effective manner that communicates properly? We always have to spend half of our time digging to what the heck you Jews are trying to tell us because you're so stupid in how you use our language. Venezuelans make aliyah. How's a Venezuelan going to make aliyah, you morons? Only Jews are allowed to make aliyah. So why did you say Venezuelans? And then you go into the story. It's two people, two families, six people. And you made a freaking huge headline out of this because two people complained. And all of a sudden you want to judge a whole country. It says here, Venezuela, once a wealthy country, has descended into crisis over the past few years with the current situation being total anarchy and economic destitution. Well, what do you think, man? Your buddies in Washington are ensuring that. They're locking up every ounce of money. They're stealing everything they're stealing everything that's not basically nailed down. But yeah, we know. You want to complain. Anyways, it's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Back with more right after this.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch. Hi, drinking my juice here. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Again, good Thursday afternoon, everybody. 2 o'clock in the morning local here. It's early in the morning now. I'll tell you, when I first decided to do this, I think we decided to do this show, October 2017, something like that. Back then, I wasn't really so busy. I honestly wasn't so busy. I had time, easy enough to do the Thursday show. Go to sleep, relax on Friday, come back, do the Saturday show. But right now, I'll tell you what, I'm getting very, very busy lately, guys. It's getting difficult to maintain two shows. Make no mistake about it. It's getting to be a challenge. But we'll keep doing it for now as long as I have the stamina to do it. But it's been a challenge as of late. Let's see. 12 Israel, going to Cyprus real quick. 12 Israeli holidaymakers have been remanded into custody by a court in Cyprus after a 19-year-old British woman reported she was raped by all 12 of them. So basically, yes, mass gang rapes isn't just a Pakistan thing up there in the UK. It's also a Jewish thing. I remember one time I've kind of told you guys the story over the years, flying to China one time, and I had to transit via Thailand. So I went from Amman to Thailand, Thailand to Hong Kong. And you transited, actually didn't even, you didn't even really transit. You stayed on the airplane, it refueled, and then it flew off to Hong Kong. There was, you didn't have to change planes, actually. You just stayed on the plane. You just, everybody had to turn their electronics off. Nobody wanted any sparks going off and then the plane blowing up. And I was, what happens is that the Israelis, Jews would come over from Tel Aviv, or, well, Israel. And they would land in Queen Alia because basically RJ was cheaper than the Israeli airlines. And I'll tell you what, if you've ever had or want to have an uncomfortable flight, travel with a bunch of Jews going to Thailand. It is the most uncomfortable environment you're going to have because the entire trip is just filled with Jewish lewdness, Jewish debauchery, massive levels of contempt for the human condition. You would hear so much about, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it was just all over the airplane. It was the most disgusting display of etiquette I've ever witnessed, probably in a collective scene. I've witnessed some bad things, but this is one. I mean, you're on an airplane and you're traveling and they're like acting as if they're the only ones there. They're basically in their bedrooms and they just wouldn't shut up. So to hear that 12 Israelis were arrested this week for gang raping some woman, it doesn't surprise me at all. This is an uncouth society. It's very uncultured, guys. It's one of the most uncivilized, disgusting cultures really you're ever going to meet. When you really break it down to its core level, from the mohels and the circumcisions and the way they treat people and the way they talk about people, it's a disgusting culture. They have nothing in common with us. And that's why for years and thousands of years, we honestly have never gotten along, because how can you get along with a people who are honestly grotesque and uncivilized? It's almost impossible to get along with these people. Hi, Frank. Welcome to Inside the Ally Primetime.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis. I just imagine you on a plane full of Jews. You know, there's nothing they love more than a captive audience. And I just find that I would love to have been a fly on inside of the.
Can you imagine? And the funny thing is if I were to have spoken up, you would have had a plane load of 8-year-old crybabies making such a scene. It's like having an ill-mannered child in the supermarket that you just can't keep under control. So you just have to be quiet because you know these guys are idiots and they're going to make a scene. You know, it's disgusting to work with these people.
Well, I mean, what's the point of being one if you, you know, can't act like one, Dennis?
Oh, you know, you got a point.
You know, they're members of the... They're members of the master race. I mean, you know, that's their birthright. So what's the point of being one if you can't act like one? Anyway, I'll get out of your way, man. That's funny.
All right, thanks, man. Yeah, he's right. No, actually, yeah, he's right, but he's, you know what I mean? You guys get it. It's, guys, it's just bizarre. They're just a bizarre people. Let's see. So basically, you had the 12. I got some really nice juice here, guys. It's called Super. Let me just share this with you. It's from a factory called Almarai. It's the biggest dairy in the Middle East. And they have a line of juices. This thing is called Super Grapes Berries. 100% juice, nothing added. It's really rich. And I can't read the stuff. It looks too small to me. I just can't read it. But I'll tell you what, when you drink this thing, it's like really rich. And I'm drinking it because of my eye, you know, for the beta carotene and everything else for my eyes. The antioxidants and all that kind of cool stuff. So anyways, I've been drinking this stuff like candy, man. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty darn good stuff. That's the nice thing about Saudi, because they don't have alcohol. They do have quite a range of juices here. So basically, guys, they embraced all the suspects. They covered their faces with their shirts as they entered and exited the courthouse in Paralimni. They should not have been allowed to do that. Everybody should know who these people are. The suspects were shown in a video as reported. Now, the alleged rape occurred early
Wednesday, yesterday, at a hotel in the popular Cyprus resort of Aia Napa, where the woman and the Israelis were staying separately. All 12 suspects face charges of rape and conspiracy to commit rape. Welcome to Judaism 101. I think it's a trick, Ms. Yazovich told the Associated Press. They want to know how my clients will react. Speaking to TV Channel 12, two of the suspects admit to engaging in sexual acts with the woman and that it was consensual. He added that all the other suspects insist they had no sexual contact with the woman whatsoever, and they were just in the room. Or no, they were not even in the room. Oh, I don't know, man. These guys are crazy. They're liars. I don't trust them. Convict, convict, convict. You know, they talk a lot about the Epstein, you know, this Epstein guy. And it's funny reading Jewish media. I don't know if you've been reading up on the story. I haven't really, because it's really bizarre why it's coming out now. Who knows? And I suspect it's really to help Netanyahu, quite frankly. That would be my guess. But you ever notice the Jewish press? They always say underage women. It's like, dude, they're children. Again, Jews use our language in such a way to deceive and mislead, it's nauseating. You morons in the Jewish press, if any of you are listening, which I doubt you are, it's not underage women. It's children, you idiots. It's children. They are still children. They are minors. They're children. Do you people in the Jewish community understand English yet? Or do you spend all your lives lording over our press, but you don't even know how to use the language? What morons again? I get so frustrated reading Jewish paper, Jewish writing, because it's actually, they like to think that they're so clever and smart. But when you really start to parse it out, these guys are idiots. I mean, come on. How do you sit there and put underage women when you're really talking about children? And they do this everywhere, guys. If you focus on Jewish writing, you'll see this type of thing everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So, you know, with the elections coming up, and you have Barack, I believe the guy's name is Barack, something like that, running against Netanyahu, and Barack is known to have some business relationships with Epstein. Epstein invested millions of dollars in a company called Carbine, an Israeli startup company, which Barack was a controlling shareholder. Maybe this was being done basically to put Barack in a very bad light, equally just to try to help Netanyahu win. This is something you have to keep going, because you see press in the Israeli newspapers now, like, what good company Ehud Barak keeps, you know, this type of stuff. Yes, Epstein, Weinstein, and the others are Jewish. No, they don't represent the Jewish people. No, this isn't systemic problem in Judaism. No, it's not part of some Zionist cabal. Actually, see, all of those things are true again. The problem with Jewish press is they spend 92% of their time gaslighting, 3% trying to tell the truth, and the other part just pure lies. Well, gaslighting's actually a lie, isn't it? So basically, you know, the Jewish people have to say, well, we have to confront them. And yeah, of course, you're going to go confront Barack now so you can get Netanyahu elected so you guys can continue to go on being a murderous, sadistic people. Okay, yeah, you're going to confront who, you idiots? Let's see. I hope that's okay. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, what's up, Dennis?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, this is Jack from the States.
Okay.
You are absolutely right about the sneaky way that these Jews will manipulate language. They'll tell you attacks on Jews are increasing 1,000,000%, 6,000,000%. And then when you read the fine print, you find that when they're saying attacks, they mean comments on the internet, you know? They'll make it out like it's a violent attack, that they're scared.
Yes.
When a Jewish banker does a scam, they'll report it as a white man. They'll take a fake white name, make you think it's white men. They're masters of this, and I'm not surprised to see them applying this even to the dregs of pedophilia, to call them underage women. you know, as if they're high school girls or something.
Which, yeah, even if they are high school girls, too. It's still, again, they're still children. In the eyes of the law, they're still children. It's not like you're a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old and you're just you're just playing as kids. This is, let's be honest, man, it's a grown man literally taking advantage of a situation. And now you're basically an adult to a child. And this is, again, but it's underage women. It's like, give us a break, dude. Come on, dudes.
Yes. And we don't even know how bad it really gets. You can count that they're not going to be reporting the worst of the worst. They're going to just say Epstein took one of them to his apartment for a massage. And then they'll argue 24 hours a day, day and night about a massage and leave out the rest.
Agreed. And they're just, and it's, I don't know, dude, it's so unethical what they're doing. It's just it lacks.
Yeah.
It's so unethical on one side, and it's if they keep using the word offensive, well, this is offensive. You're just lying to our faces, man. It's like walking up and slapping us in the face, and then when we react, you want to call us like anti-Semite. Go screw. I'm at the stage now where these people go screw yourselves, man, because the ethics is just simply not there. We're not this disgusting animal like Jews are. Bottom line.
Yes. You know, they're preying on the ignorance of the population at large. They're preying on the Holocaust mentality of Jews as victims.
Mm-hmm.
I think people at large don't understand the potential savagery of Jews, you know, like the Bolshevik type or like the Israeli type when they're lording over an unarmed population of Palestinians.
Yes.
I think people don't understand how thuggish they can be.
Yeah, I think Truman talked about it. You know, he said something to the effect that there's, when it comes to brutality, there's none equal to the Jews equally, something to that effect. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he even mentioned something.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, he mentioned when it comes to cruelty, there's Jews got nothing on nobody, man. They're just as cruel as everybody else. Actually worse.
Well, they had to be good at something.
So, yeah, I agree with you, man. It's who knows what they're leaving out, if you know what I mean. Who knows?
Yeah.
I
think they count on keeping enough people in the dark to just keep winning elections, or, you know, they have their candidates on both sides. But I think that they just are counting on, as long as we can keep tricking enough goyim.
Yeah, and it's the stupid goyim that support, you know, whenever they charge anti-Semite, it's the stupid ones that come to their rescue, not realizing that they're being played like idiots, because they are idiots, and Jews don't mind playing. That's the funny thing about Jews. They don't mind playing you for an idiot if you want to be an idiot. They have no qualms about being unethical.
It's that Talmudic mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we gave them a chance. They went along with it.
Basically, yeah. I remember talking to Jews in L.A., dude, and I'd be upset with them, and they say, Dennis, what do you want us to do, man? Nobody stops us. You guys let us get away with it, and your people are so stupid they'll just stop every time we scream anti-Semite, and that's in L.A. in the 1990s, man.
It's only gotten worse. That's like the ultimate crime now, anti-Semitism.
Yes, and that's the problem now. You're right. Now they're trying to play it into a crime. And if that ever gets through, you're basically just another couple twists of law away from the Bolshevik Russia, where they can actually start jailing you, killing you, whatever they want.
Yeah. You know that synagogue you talked about where they instinctively called the police for that flyer, you know?
Yes, yes.
I think those Jews must have forgotten for a second that they're not in Europe. For a second, they thought they were over in Germany or something, and they're going to have someone locked up. And then after the fact, they realize, oh, wait a minute, they have the First Amendment here technically. And so they have to come up with a new spin. And so they go with the next step and say, well, it was on our property. We felt threatened.
Yeah, and the fact is they don't feel threatened. They don't. They're just using this as an excuse. They don't feel threatened. Come on, who gets threatened by a stupid flyer?
That's right.
You know, I feel like I'm dealing with a bunch of 5-year-olds that are afraid of ghosts in the dark. You know, how many of our people, let's be honest, are losing their jobs, losing their opportunities, their businesses because Jews are complaining and yet they feel threatened? Excuse us?
Yep.
How many Jews lost their job last month because of things they said? You know, so I don't want to, I'm tired of, you know, always I feel threatened. Give us a break, man. You don't know what it's like to live under Jewish tyranny. That's the way I look at it.
I hear you, brother. Hey, man, keep up the good work. I love your show, and hope to speak to you again.
Thanks, Jack. New caller, so thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that equally. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's insane. But, you know, Jews are funny people because they want to come across as being civilized. This is a key point for a lot of you to remember about this culture. A percentage of them, they know the problem in their society. They know it's a problem. They know the issue. So when they say words like this in their own press, yes, Epstein, Weinstein, and others are Jewish. But yeah, it's only Jews, you morons. It's a vast majority of our Jews. No, they don't represent the Jewish people. That's not my opinion. That's your opinion. In our opinion, yes, they do represent the Jewish people. Because you Jewish people knew about this all along, and you didn't say a single word because you have something called Mesira. Mesira says you never tell the Goyim about things Jews are doing to who? The Goyim. Because to you Jews, it's okay. So they do represent the Jewish people. And again, you're using language to lie to our faces. You could have put a stop to this decades ago, centuries ago, millennia ago, but you have your law of Mesira. You do not tell anything to the Goyim that you yourself are doing because you might get blacklisted in your own community. There's many people in the Jewish community, they actually believe, and in some respects they're right, that you're stupid as a general audience. You're stupid. You don't know what's going on. And because you're stupid, they can do what they want. See, in our world, it's a win-win. In other words, we don't go, I don't know, I can't speak for you. But I can speak for myself for sure what I was taught and raised and understand reading the ethics of my culture and my civilization. Generally, you do not want to put people into a lose-win situation. You don't want to be doing that. You do not want to look for reasons to take advantage of people. This is how can you do that? If you have a superior position over people, how can you sit there and look for ways to cheat them? How wrong is that? I'll tell you a true story. Back in the day, I was destitute. So I'm working in a call center for Jews. Okay, it's a call center. And this is back in the tape days. And we had to set appointments for these Jews to go out. And what they were doing was they were signing people to credit contracts at X amount of percent interest for a bunch of tapes, music tapes, cassette tapes. And I remember one time I used my talent to convince this couple to at least make the appointment. But I went on the appointment and I watched what they did. And here was a white couple, quite frankly, two kids, very ignorant people. And there's nothing wrong with being ignorant, guys. There's nothing wrong with just not having the DNA makeup to where you're smart. There's nothing wrong with that. This is where you're at in your existence at this point in time. How can you find fault with that? This is part of the human condition. And I watch these Jews connive and twist and eventually strong arm this poor couple that really didn't understand a thing into signing a credit contract of some $1,800 that they could never have afforded. And it was so patently obvious what was going on here. And the Jews just kept pushing and pushing because they wanted the frickin' shekels. They didn't care about the couple. They didn't care about the condition that it was all BS. They didn't need to do it. They just wanted to do it because they wanted money to steal from some poor white couple that really couldn't afford a credit term contract of $1,800. And when it's all said and done, it costs them $2,700 for what? A bunch of stupid Jewish controlled music cassette tapes that they're never, ever going to even be able to play. So when I watched that situation go down, I told myself, not that I ever would do it anyways, but never, ever take advantage of people who are inferior to your position. You don't take advantage. But to a Jew, it's okay. It's what we do. Oy vey. And it's wrong. It's absolutely unethical, moral. It's unethical and it's morally, it's just wrong. And I've seen it with my own eyes. Anyways, we're going into a break. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Primetime Thursday. Back with more right after this. And welcome back. Again, Thursday afternoon. Hope you're having a great day, guys. I had a really good day today. Thursdays here in Saudi, at least on this trip, are half-day work days. So it's kind of cool, man. I'm done by... Actually, I just wasn't done today. Today I ended up working till like 5, 6. Then from like 9 to 11:30, something like that. A little bit of time outside to get some fresh air. But it was a busy, busy, busy day. Tomorrow I'm going to take most of the day off. But I, obviously being a Friday, we don't have those days off in the West, whether it's the UK or America. So I'm going to be working again tomorrow, but not so much. Not so much. It's going to be okay. Got work Saturday morning, guys, and then back to the show. Man, these days are flying by. Again, we just want to say we are moving. We're going to shut down Jordan. Guys, I'm kind of excited in one way to shut things down. I'm actually kind of excited. I'm going to miss it. I'll be honest. We spent 10 years there. It's been good to us. We've had a great place. I like our house. I like the people that we've been renting from. Really nice couple. Actually, a lady now. They've divorced. A lot of it I like. There's a lot of it, though, that has become a big problem. There's a lot of turmoil kind of like under the surface, a lot of tension under the surface. And this year was kind of funny because I was talking to my colleagues, and these guys are okay. They're well-to-do people. And I said, you know, it's really weird. I said, you know, this year I saw Saudis, but I didn't see like the massive amounts of Saudis that I used to see in Jordan. And he said, yeah, he says, it's too expensive. I said, well, yeah, it is that. He said, no, it's really too expensive. He said, for the money you spend in Jordan, you can now go to Europe. It's actually, they've made Jordan so expensive. It's basically on a par with Europe. So why would you go to Jordan when you can go to Europe? I said, yeah, I got a point there. Can't say much about it as long as you got the visas. And most of these people, trust me, they get the visas. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So I can understand. So we're going to be leaving. Things are shutting down. Chat room, everybody, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Guys, we need some categories. I'm not sure what this number should be. You know, we've only got 13 people there. That's kind of quiet. We've got a quiet day going. Not like last week. We did very, very well. It's kind of quiet today. Not sure why that is. Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. A big story that's kind of not making the news per se on the geopolitical front is what's going on here in the Middle East, and that's with Turkey. Turkey has now started to take delivery of the S-400s, which is an anti-air defense system. And I'll be honest, I think the reason why Turkey is taking delivery of that is because they're afraid of the United States. You know, basically, you don't want to get bombed to smithereens, so you need an air defense system that can protect you. And the S-400 will protect Turkey from the American government. So they're saying, hey, you know, we want this system. It's basically what they call coup-proofing the nation of Turkey. So what happened here is the Turkish Foreign Ministry came out, because now what the United States has done is they have kicked out the Turkish government, or the Turkish, really the Turkish government and its business community, from the F-35 program. And that's not a small deal. Turkish companies were making some 830 plus components for the F-35. Now that's going to be there's going to have to be now a replacement for those parts. That offset work is going to be lost to the Turkish government and the Turkish business community. The S-400 here, of course, it's a advanced technology type of radar / anti-aircraft missile system. And the foreign ministry is saying here that this unilateral step is incompatible with the spirit of alliance and does not rely on any legitimate justification. And then he calls on the United States to come back from this mistake. But the Pentagon, as a statement from the White House, has something actually pertinent here. He says Turkey's decision to purchase Russian S-400 air defense systems renders its continued involvement with the F-35 impossible. And the reason given is actually does make some sense. The F-35 cannot coexist with a Russian intelligence collection platform that will be used to learn about its advanced capabilities. See, they actually do have a point there. Obviously, radar is active and passive. It receives quite a lot of information. I guess it's active. Well, it's active and passive. It's got to receive the information. So if you've got a bunch of F-35s flying around Turkey and the Russians have the S-400s there, then basically the Russians are going to be able to model all of the F-35 movements and understand its signatures a heck of a lot better. So actually, in this case, we're going to have to come down with cha-ching the side of the United States. I think they've got a valid concern here. So I'm going to actually give that to the Americans on this one, even though I try to be impartial. I'm being impartial. I think they've got a great case. Turkey's responded to Trump's stance by saying it's unfair. Again, I'm going to have to side with the Americans. According to state-run TRT World, excluding Turkey, one of the main partners from the F-35 program, is unfair, and the claim that the S-400 system will weaken the F-35s is invalid. Well, again, actually, I don't buy that, because it's not that the S-400 will weaken it. Future systems will weaken it. You Turks, come on, guys, you're not that stupid. Give me enough information and data points, and I can craft a better system than the S-400 and pretty much make the F-35 obsolete. And in some cases, people are saying the F-35 actually may already be obsolete. So now the Russians are saying, hey, look, we will give you literally, we will give you some of our F-35s or our S-35s if you want them. Anyways, Pentagon spokesman Navy Commander Sean Robertson said that unilateral action into northeastern Syria by any party, particularly as U.S. personnel may be present or in the vicinity, is of grave concern. We would find any such actions unacceptable. Now, here's the problem. Our friends in Tel Aviv, from a geopolitical stance, basically have very few Americans isolated in the Middle East. They're isolated. They can basically do nothing strategically. They're just there to block and be a nuisance. It's kind of like a tick in your skin. They're there, but they can't do really anything serious. There's just not enough of them there. So we have multiple American coalitions up in the northeastern part of Syria. Now, they're fairly isolated. You have Americans operating from Incirlik Air Base. Again, there's no talk of the Americans being kicked out of Incirlik, but we save a lot of money flying from Incirlik. Now, American defense officials fear that Turkey's military could be tempted toward retaliation against U.S. forces, and that is something that basically the U.S. military is concerned about, to cut it short. So, again, this story is developing. We'll see how it plays out. But on this case, I can actually understand why Trump is doing what he's doing and the U.S. military is doing what they're doing. On the other front is technology. Huawei, kind of confusing messages out of Huawei. Huawei, of course, is the second largest handheld, or what do you want to call it, cell phone, mobile phone, hand mobile phones. I don't know what you call them. They got a technical term. But anyways, they're the second largest. They're bigger than Apple right now. Meanwhile, Apple's loyalty rating has dropped something like 18% over the past year. So Apple is losing market share. And here's the problem I see happening in the world today.
The Americans, because we're not run by America anymore, let's be honest. It's not run by, quote unquote, the Americans. It's run by, let's just say Israel and the Jewish people. That's who's running our country. And because of that, we really don't have people in power that have American interests at heart. Basically, it's a corporatocracy with, of course, the banking systems, and the banking system controls it all. And they sanction everything. Every little thing you do, they want to sanction you. Oh, they want to put sanctions here and sanctions there. Yet when you want to do a BDS, the boycott, divest, and sanction Israel, all they want to do is whine and cry like, oh, this is anti-Semitic. But it's like, you Jews are doing it all the time. And first of all, and we have a moral right to do what we want on a personal level, but you Jews are doing it at the state level. It's quite unconscionable, quite frankly, and the world's figuring it out. And it's just a matter of time. Do you know the Russians have dropped U.S. treasuries down from like 112 or 120 billion down to like $12 billion now, U.S. treasury holdings. They're almost completely void of U.S. treasury. China's down a little bit. Japan's up a little bit. But people are getting it. All that the American, meaning the Jewish, because Jews run our foreign policy. So all that America's Jewish leaders want to do is whine, bully, and complain. Do you understand what's happening with Iran, for instance? Netanyahu has been, of course, whining about Iran getting a nuclear weapon since 1991. Very few people know that. I believe the original story developed out of, I forget the congressman's name, Rusk, maybe? I forget his name. I think it was Rusk, but don't quote me on that. But in 1986, it goes back to 1986, 1987, literally. It goes all the way back to then. So we've been hearing about Iran getting the nuclear bomb since 1986. Netanyahu picks it up in 1991, and he's been using that as his basic lifelong chirping parrot phrase. And then the past week he said, you know, if you guys don't do something about anti-Semitism, you might find Iran's— actually, I don't think he said anti-Semitic. If you don't do something about Iran, you might find Iran, a nuclear missile from Iran in your backyard in 1 year. And you know, when I hear people like Netanyahu say things like that, I don't think Iran. I think that's a threat from the Jewish people. The Jewish people said, we're threatening you. And if you don't do something like we tell you to do, we are going to hit you with a nuclear device. That's as I view that. And my statement to that is, if you try it, you cease to exist. We'll take our hits, but you Jews are going to cease to exist, period. The Chosenites will lose 100% of their manpower if they ever try something like that. That's how you should talk to them. Yeah, okay, fine. We'll go ahead and we'll play a game of let's blow up the world, since you're blowing up the world slowly anyways. And the second you try it, you all disappear. But there's no global leaders right now that have the ability to say this. You can't even get global leaders out there in today's world to even talk about the Jewish problem. They're out there, but they're not getting the big play. And then half of them are apologizing when they say something that gets a little bit too public. The apologizing, of course, has to stop. U.S. lawmakers are calling on what else? Guess what are U.S. lawmakers calling on Trump to do to Turkey? Sanction them. They're going to sanction Russia more. Sanction, sanction, sanction. Is this all you guys in the Jewish community know what to do? Are you really that stupid? Do you not know how to negotiate? Or do you only rely, like my story earlier at the break, where you have such a weak person, you want to twist their arms to steal from them because you're so pathetic and you need money and you want money so bad, you'll go and harm an innocent little family. I'll never forget that, actually. I did forget about that story. It just came to my mind. What a sad thing I saw when that happened, by the way, with that family. Knowing that I played a part to allow some scum, trash people in the Jewish community steal from them. I'll never forget. Actually, that's a sad thing. I hate the fact that I actually helped these people do that. What else? So basically, you're talking sanctions now against Turkey. That never seems to stop. It's all they have to. That seems like all they can talk about. Let's sanction them. Talked about the Cyprus story. There's been a Twitter account, of course, again, Jews want to talk about how it's unfair. And we feel threatened. But there's a story about, I don't know, it's not listing. Maybe my internet went down again. But basically, there was a Twitter account. It was the main account to support Julian Assange. And it's now mysteriously been pulled off of the internet. Can't imagine why. India's coming up. They're going to be launching a new lunar lander mission following a technical snag. They've been delayed for a few weeks, apparently. Katie Hopkins is in Oslo. If you know Katie Hopkins, she's basically meeting the press, the Norwegian press. Not sure what she's doing. What else is news out there that's really cool? Yeah, Miss Harris, she got this Miss Harris woman. You know, she's complaining about slave reparations. You know, everybody, us white guys, we're supposed to pay everybody else. And this Jamala Harris or whatever her name is, she says, her family came from Jamaica. She's probably not even legally, she's not actually a citizen again, a naturalized citizen for sure. And they brought a ton of slaves to Jamaica. And then she's pretending that African Americans are supposed to be voting for her because basically she was a former slave owner themselves. So stories like this abound, guys. They're all over the place with the insanity going on. But there's a fun story. We do have one fun story. And it comes out of Australia. And there was an informal UN debate in June, and Australia called for increased education as a way of fighting current manifestations of anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial, as it recently joined the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Now, we should view the International Holocaust Alliance as an enemy fifth column agency working within our lands, seeking to impose Jewish tyranny upon us. Because basically what this whole IHRA boils down to is thou shalt not criticize Jews or else you will be declared an anti-Semite. And of course it's that way, but this tries to enshrine it into law. So you have in Israel, in Australia, of all the population in Australia, the only topic they're talking about is what? Jews. It's like, dudes, don't you have anything better to talk about? And then Jews want to whine why we're always talking about them in the headlines, because it's all about you, the Jewish people, nothing about us. It says there's a cafe in Melbourne, Australia. It's owned by the granddaughter of somebody who survived World War II. And here's the thing. Have you ever noticed that every single Jew that survived World War II, they use the term Holocaust survivor? They are survivor of World War II, like so many other people that went through it. But the problem is that Jews actually, their numbers grew during World War II. So how could they have been quote unquote Holocausted if their numbers grew? This is like a no-brainer. Dear Jews, if your numbers went from 15.2 million to 15.6 million in the span of 6 years, where did you lose your 6 million? You can see Jews are stupid. They can't even do basic math, but they want to call you a denier for just not even know basic math. Again, it's gaslighting. It's dishonest. It's unethical. And they're trying to enshrine all of this into law. So here they're talking about anti-Semites. Is it anti-Semite or is it anti-Jew? Let's be clear here. Isn't it really anti-Jew at this stage? Forget the term anti-Semite. This is stupid. What's a Semite at the end of the day? What is it? Seriously, what is it? It doesn't even define the target even. It's a Jew. Just say anti-Jew. Just use the language as it's designed. Anti-Semite. What's a Semite? It's an anti-Jew. Okay? Just logic. Because you know what? There's so many Semitic religions out there. There's so many Semitic people out there. Since when do Jews get to take it all for themselves? It's anti-Jew. Now, if you got a problem with it being anti-Jew, hey, so what? You're anti-white. Now you're anti-Chinese. You're anti-this. So what? So anyways, the article goes on. The abusers left anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, okay? And when you really read it, it's not anti-Jewish. It's not anti-Semitic. It's just something. Again, it's something. It goes on. It's called Eliza's Place Cafe, okay, in Chadstone in southeast Melbourne. Owned by a racist, probably. Probably. See, we're not admitting it yet, but probably a Jewish racist by the name of Eliza Chevalley. We don't know for a fact, but we can kind of guess it by the way she talks. This is a racist, bigot, arrogant Jewess. Not a Semite. She's a Jew. Duh. What is it about people in the language here that you're afraid to use the proper word? They're not Chinese. They're not Japanese. Their country is a Jewish state. So why can't you use the word? It's a Jewish state. Duh. We don't call it a N-word state. It's a Jewish state. And one of the letters read this. And it was a comment placed in a review online. And the review said, Auschwitz has better food than this. Who do you keep trying to impress with this? Auschwitz also came with a pool, soccer field, hospital, along with 10 other facilities for your convenience. And you still cry over it. And think about it. Hoax Train, the song, kind of speaks about it, doesn't it? Talks about the fake Anne Frank story. It talks about the swimming pool. The chimney that was never there, that was actually built in 1952. But no, we're supposed to lower our intellectual level to that of a three-year-old. Okay, yes, I believe. Yes, in Santa Claus. Okay, can I have a gift now? Yeah, you get to keep your job because you didn't disagree with us. That's your gift. Now go, Goyim, go. Isn't that kind of how Jews are treating you? Think about it. Isn't that kind of what they're saying here? So think about it. Auschwitz came with a pool. How is that anti-Jewish? Did Auschwitz come with a pool? Yes, it did. Now tell me again, how is it anti-Jewish? Also, it had a soccer field. Do you realize there are plenty of retained videos of the games and matches that were held at Auschwitz? Do you understand that that's actually preserved? How is talking about a soccer field anti-Jewish? It's not. It did have a hospital. It had wedding chapels. Well, not chapels, but they had weddings there. How is that anti-Jewish? So why are Jews telling us it's anti-Jewish when it's clearly not anti-Jewish? How is telling you that it has a hospital become anti-Jewish? Again, it's stupid. At the very base of it, guys, it's an abuse of the language. It is dumb. Jews exhibit the intellect of a 60 IQ person here. And why are we all cowering every time a 60 IQ person wants to cry like an idiot? There is nothing anti-anything by saying it's got a pool, it's got soccer fields, it's got a hospital. And the fact that we're observing you're still crying about it because you survived World War II doesn't mean we should cower for sure. And it certainly doesn't give you the right to define for us what that is. And you don't have a right to throw the word Holocaust in front. You're a survivor of World War II. And you survived precisely because what you're claiming happened never happened. Otherwise, you wouldn't have survived. You simply survived that period of time when everybody else around you was dying and your brothers from the Bolshevik Union were raping and pillaging and murdering, and so were the Americans. Most of those, as we've learned, in the supply chain, which were mostly the African Americans coming through. Now, it says here the attacks. It says, well, let me, where does it go? When contacted for comment, Shivali broke down with grief as she shared the heart-rending sentiments that swamped her upon first seeing the graffiti. Oh, can you get any more dramatic? Are you writing a Hollywood film here? Look, there was a, why don't you just tell the truth, man? Is there a problem with you Jews admitting that there was a hospital, that there were soccer fields, there was a swimming pool? And yes, you're complaining about it. Can't you just say that you've been found out and you just shut up and just say, okay, yeah, you got me. But no, you want to gaslight, gaslight, and gaslight. Says here the attacks have been condemned by the ADL. Well, first of all, the Anti-Defamation Commission, okay, it wasn't the ADL. And it called upon police to seek out those responsible and actually punish them. So basically, there's a pool, there's a hospital, there's soccer fields. It's all true. And the Jews are asking you to get the police involved and prosecute somebody for saying something true. Again, at what point do we say you guys are complete frickin' morons and it's intolerable and we got to do something about this? Because we cannot live with this type of idiocy from you people, and you actually want to tyrannize people for just speaking the truth about things. Since when did the truth become something that we can no longer speak about? Because that, at the end of it all, is what you are trying to say. That's the show, everybody. See you Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. Inside the Eye. Right back. See you.